To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Isn't that what Donovan said last night, too? Like, I'm not going to go down the concerned route. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you guys do in the media. He almost went Jerry Jeudy. Like, I know what you guys in the media do if I say concerned, so I'm not going to say concerned.
And then he proceeded to fumble a football after a 25-yard catch.
I don't know why. It just continues to happen.
It's something about that. You blame the media. You no longer can catch passes. It's the weirdest. No matter football or, I almost said sports ball, football or basketball. Having a banner day here at afternoon drive. But Ohio State, Indiana, that is coming up 2 days from now. We'll see if this 1v2 matchup can live up to the hype. And to talk about it, we've got former Ohio State linebacker and of NBC Sports as well, college football analyst Joshua Perry on the Fan Hotline. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. I guess we'll start with the obvious here. 1 versus 2, Ohio State versus Indiana. This matchup doesn't seem to be getting as much love as it should be. Are you expecting this to be as good as the rankings say it should be?
I think so. I mean, I think these are two of the most complete teams in America. You know, I feel like people are generally down on the conference championships because these teams are going to be in the bracket, and both of them are probably going to get the first round bye with the new seeding unless one of them gets blown out. So I can see where people are hemming and hawing a little bit. The reality of the situation, though, this is a huge moment for Indiana as a program. They were the losingest program in college football for a long time. They lost that title, thankfully, for those guys this year. And then for Ohio State, they haven't been to Indianapolis since the COVID year. So I know both the fan bases are excited, maybe not as much luster nationally because the implications aren't dire. But to me, it should be a well-contested matchup here.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What is the excitement level? Because I mean, a Big Ten title's nice, but I feel like there's so many other things that we play for. It just doesn't seem like it hits the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you learn a lot in this matchup, though. Like, one of the questions that people have for Indiana still is, like, when you get a team that's supremely talented like Ohio State, do you actually match up? And they answered that a little bit with the way that they handled their game at Autzen this year. But the idea is Ohio State is a different animal. And so if Indiana looks good in this game or can even pull off a win, I think people learn a lot. And then the flip side is we've watched Ohio State go out there. Defense has suffocated people. The offense just stands over the ball. They'll snap it under 5 seconds. They hit you over the top. The run game started to come alive. It doesn't feel like there's really a weakness here. And all of a sudden, if they start to struggle a little bit, turn the football over, defense can't get stops, maybe you learn something. So in terms of, like, big picture implications, I'm not exactly sure. But it feels like there's still a lot at stake because, you know, for number one and number two, I think there are a lot of doubters nationally, especially people down south who don't think these guys played a tough schedule that might feel like they learned something.
So when it comes to Fernando Mendoza, obviously there's a lot of NFL buzz on him, but what do you see when you watch Fernando Mendoza play and necessarily what he does good and how do you bottle him up?
Yeah, I mean, he's a smart quarterback. I think that's where I'd start. You can see it in the way that he processes and he operates that offense. You know, he's rarely making mistakes. He rarely misses reads. So you got to try to find ways to confuse him there. He's got the arm. He can extend plays, and it's more of a, like, he's a good runner in a straight line. He's not a twitched up jitterbug type athlete in the pocket, but certainly can hit you with his legs and be dangerous there. And it's just the operation overall of how he runs that offense. They're heavy RPO, heavy play action type of offense, and his ability to make the right reads in the RPO and sell the fakes, I think, is big. Here's the thing that people don't realize about Indiana's offense, though, is they run it more than anybody in the Big Ten. They're averaging like 40 runs a game. And I think that's why their pass game has been so effective. And it's not to disparage Fernando Mendoza, the receivers, Surratt and Cooper Jr. Those guys will all play on Sundays. But if you make him drop back and now he's got to read through a progression fully, and he's got to do that with pressure in particular, his feet start to get tangled up a little bit. He doesn't fully step into throws. And that's where you see him maybe get off script and he doesn't make the reads. Now, he's been clutch and he's been able to come back in those situations. Not against Penn State. They were bringing pressure. He handled it. But the beginning of that drive, he took a sack. And the reason why was because he was looking down. You look at his splits, particularly when they're on the road, the pressure rate is three times what it is at home. And he is much less effective. And it's because of the pressure. So to me, it's stopping the run so they can't get into RPOs. And then you make him a drop back quarterback and apply pressure, and I think he's a different player.
So you're not just a former Buckeye. You're not just a college football analyst. You played in the league. You played on Sundays for a couple of years there. Just some of the stuff that I'm hearing about Fernando Mendoza, Cleveland Browns here might end up having a top three pick, might end up trading up for that. When you look at Fernando Mendoza, do you look at a kid, do you see a talent that could be a top five, top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
No, and I think he can be a very good, successful, efficient quarterback in the NFL. I think if you're drafting him and you want to pick him in the top five or even the top 10 of this draft, you're probably putting too much value and too many expectations on him. The issue that's going to come is he's going to be the number one guy. Ty Simpson was a guy from Alabama people had talked about. He's kind of tailed off. The last three games, he's had a ton of turnovers. And against Auburn, he threw for 122 yards. Like, that's not a great performance for a guy who's supposed to be at the top of draft boards. And then Dante Moore from Oregon's the other one that people have talked about. But he's thinking about coming back, and I think he should for another year. So Fernando Mendoza may be the best option and probably the only option for teams that are at the top of the draft. But you'd be taking him there because there's not really a deep draft class, and there's not a better guy behind him that you would say that you want. And I'm not sure that he's the guy where you say we're handing him the keys to our franchise tomorrow. And we're going to do it for the next 10 years. And you expect him year one, year two, year three to be able to deliver the way that he would in year four, five, and beyond.
It sounds to me like you think people got the story wrong in this one. And if anyone wants to talk about Mendoza, the highlight here is the run game from Indiana.
It is. And it's a run game that has been really good all year long. They roll the running backs through. So those guys have been fresh. And they break tackles. They have really good vision. They've got some game-breaking speed in the open field. And the offensive line is something that I think has gone underrated for this Indiana group. They're not necessarily the most talented players in the world, although they do have talented players. They move well together. They rarely make mistakes in pass pro. Like, it's a group that I think is built on the fronts on both sides of the ball, but in particular on offense. And it's hard to deny. Their worst games have come against Iowa and against Penn State. Look at their rushing totals from those games. They barely got over 100 yards. They looked bad in the first half against Wisconsin. They ran it for 87 yards in the game before they realized that Wisconsin's got a terrible secondary and you just have to throw the ball in that football team. They want to run the ball. It's what they do when their offense is clicking the best. And I think the key to stopping them is being able to stop that run.
Joshua Perry, college football analyst, NBC Sports, and the Fan Hotline here. So, with all this being said, Ohio State's offense, I've watched it all season long. I know it's good. I don't know how much better than good it is, even as we look at the defense and think, wow, that's elite. So, in terms of the Ohio State offense, do you think it's good enough to truly not just win this game, but go through the playoffs and win a national championship again?
Guys, I don't know how much that offense has really shown in terms of scheme and wrinkles and all the different things. I mean, The first wrinkle that really kind of stands out just in terms of attacking a defense and going for the jugular was really the Jeremiah double move on fourth and five, which, like, gutsy call. But it's fourth down, right? Like, the corner, you see Jeremiah go on a slant. It's a very aggressive corner. They know he's going to bite. You hit him with the double move over the top, it becomes a touchdown. I think there's a lot more to that offense that they can do that they just haven't shown. It's been pretty simple in the pass game. It's been pretty simple in the run game. And they like to stand over the football and wait until the play clock runs down to snap it. They have been very intentional about not running a super high volume of plays and just being efficient. So now if you get a little bit more volume with the same level of efficiency and maybe some more creativity, I think that there's still a different level. I go back to last year where we left the Michigan game and we're like, what the hell did these guys do on offense? Then against Tennessee, it's like different offense. Against Oregon, different offense, right? Like, I think there are layers to it, and they just haven't had to show it yet this year. And part of that was Julian's development early on in the season. I think the other part is we've got a really suffocating defense where we don't have to do very much offensively. We can keep guys fresh, but I think that there's another level here that hasn't been unlocked yet.
Okay, so and obviously it's hard to talk about this if we haven't yet seen it, but like then if you were to line up last year's team versus this year's team, who would end up winning that game?
It's the defense for me is the thing that pivots it toward this year's team. I have rarely seen defenses where every game they do something where my jaw is on the floor. I joke with people all the time. I started 3 years at Ohio State. I led the team in tackles on a championship team. I wouldn't see the damn field if I had to play on this defense. So the personnel is outrageous at linebacker with Arvell and Sonny. Up front, Caden Curry probably not getting enough credit nationally for what he's done. Caden McDonald on the inside might not be a guy who's playing better at his position than he's playing right now. And then you've got Caleb Downs in the secondary where you put him in the post. You can have him play a deep half. You can line him up over the slot. You can bring him on the line of scrimmage. Like, it's that is what they can do with the personnel and with the creativity of Matt Patricia. That, to me, is the biggest X factor that puts them over the top of last year's team. And it's wild to say, right? Like, we watched a team that at its best at the end of the year was ridiculous. They looked unstoppable. And I still think that this year's team, if you had to match them up in a you know, everything's on the table, all the stakes on the game, I think this year's team is taking it.
All right, Joshua, I'm asking you because he's a fellow Ohio State guy. If the NFL comes calling, should Marcus Freeman make the jump out of Notre Dame?
I like the fit at Notre Dame. I like what he's done. I like what he's built there. It would have to be a perfect situation. And here's the thing about the NFL, right? College is one of those places where Marcus Freeman can continue to win the way that he's been winning, right? You make semifinal runs, make it to the national championship, even if he doesn't win a title. He probably gets to retire as the Notre Dame head coach. In the NFL, your whole existence is getting hired to get fired. And so for him, I wouldn't even want him to step into that. Like, it'd have to be a great situation where he could run the organization the way that he wanted to. He would 100%, I think he'd be a good coach in the league. He is in a phenomenal spot there in South Bend. I want to see him there for a long time.
Joshua, you're always so great, man. You've not only were you a great Ohio State player and you had your time in the NFL, but, man, you've really become so much fun to watch as an analyst in college football. So we appreciate you. We appreciate your time as well. Happy holidays.
Hey, appreciate you guys, and happy holidays to you too.
Thank you so much. Joshua Perry there, former Ohio State linebacker, now with NBC Sports on the Fan Hotline. Pretty interesting stuff coming out of Jeremy Fowler's Week 14 latest buzz column. He did have some stuff about Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. That's not even the most interesting thing about the Browns as under his Fowler notes, because it's his notes.
That's his notes.
Yeah.
Nobody else's
notes. It'd
be
weird if it was just like, it's a Jeremy Fowler piece and it was like Bill Barnwell's notes. That'd be weird.
ESPN sometimes does that.
It's weird that we would then put Fowler's notes under something written by Jeremy Fowler. That's neither here nor there. But he says, Kevin Stefanski's future comes up often in my conversations with people in the league due to the Browns' record over the past two seasons. Another reason his name comes up, several executives I've spoken to believe he'd be a prime candidate for a head coaching job elsewhere should Cleveland move on after the season. Quote, he's a good coach, experienced, two-time coach of the year, Cleveland is hard. It's a hard place to win, an AFC executive said. You might need a fresh start somewhere. And then it kind of goes on there, and said, but two jobs currently open, the Giants and Titans, could use a mix of offensive acumen and experience, a mold that Stefanski fits. I think it would be really ridiculous if in the NFL, Mike Vrabel, who I always have thought is one of the five best coaches in the NFL, if he had to wait a year And then Kevin Stefanski gets fired and immediately gets a new job.
Well, Vrabel was waiting for the right opportunity, though, right? I mean, that was...
I don't know. I honestly don't remember. I just remember he didn't get a lot of interviews after getting let go, and I remember I thought that was ridiculous.
My perception of it was always he looked around and thought, oh, this isn't... You only get one other crack at this. I don't want this to be my opportunity. And there is a situation here where Stefanski could have that same thinking, right? Like, because if you're Stefanski, you only get... You're going to have one more chance. More likely than not, you're going to have one more chance. Now, if I was Stefanski, I would take it any chance that's basically offered. But you're only having one more chance. And so if you feel like, I think the Giants, if he landed there, that'd be a great fit for Stefanski, all things considered. I think you go to the Titans, and then Stefanski is not a coach after two seasons, potentially even one season, and then he's a lifelong offensive coordinator.
So, all right, this is a tough one. I do think, listen, I don't think Kevin Stefanski should be the coach that gets fired And then just automatically walks into another job. I think that's insane. There's like, good offensive coach, look at the offensive stats and tell me how good he is, right? Just in terms of that side of the ball.
Right, but the advantage he has right now is that there aren't a bunch of really good head coaches out there.
So that's what I was actually going to say is, I think this offseason is going to scare some owners into doing something they wouldn't normally do. Just because Vrabel's off the board, Belichick's not off the board, but he's off the board. Pete Carroll's off the board. Ben Johnson's off the board. Like the guys that last year we'd kind of spent a couple years accumulating a number of candidates that everybody got basically normalized. Well, then they all got jobs, and so I do think that's going to complicate it, and it might to the benefit of Kevin Stefanski.
I mean, think about it. When we've talked about guys replacing Stefanski, Mike McCarthy's a hot name.
Yeah.
You're talking yourself into McCarthy. Oh, he wins 12 games every year in Dallas. Like, when we're at that part of the conversation, and he seems like he is like the bell of the ball almost, that's how you know the cycle's down. And that's okay. That's fine. But Stefanski then could play to his advantage.
Well, and I think, and I'll be honest with you, I wonder if that is in the minds of Haslam and company. But like, okay, Kevin Stefanski wasn't on anyone else's radar when he got hired here. Like, the point is, and the thing that the Browns actually did right when they hired Kevin Stefanski. So if you've done it once with this cast of characters, you can do it again, is they didn't worry about the biggest name, and you know, the Hugh Jackson thing 2.0. They didn't go with, well, I want this specific... They just found the right guy for them at that point.
It's Liam Cohen in Jacksonville.
Yes.
You know, you find the guy that isn't the hottest name, has zero experience, really, where we're talking head coaching, and then you go after it. But then you run the risk of having it completely just flame up.
Well, but isn't that every job?
For sure.
Like, I think that's the thing that, like, to me, like, if you said right now, would Stefanski be more successful in his next stop than this one, without knowing the details, I'd probably say no.
Well, so, but it does depend, though, on what exactly they want out of this. Like, think about
Who's
it.
Who's they?
The Browns.
Oh, okay.
The Browns. Like, think about it. If you hire Mike McCarthy, the idea is there. The idea would be that you're not going to have a 3-win season.
Yeah.
You know, like that is off the table. You hire Mike McCarthy. I can't say
you're not going to win the Super Bowl.
You're not going to win the Super Bowl, but you're not going to have a 3 or 4 win season. It's not going to absolutely crash out and burn. He doesn't have that in his career ever. So, like, you have that. And if what they're going for is just stability and the idea that you get to threaten 7, 8, 9 win seasons for a couple years while then maybe lining up the guy after that head coach, then okay, maybe you go that route because you don't want to be the embarrassment. When you take a swing like you did with Stefanski, you take a swing with a coach that we're talking about that doesn't have the bona fides, there's an extremely high ceiling that could happen, but obviously there is 3-4 win seasons that could just as easily happen as well.
Now, Keith came in here to basically make sure we didn't miss this, and thankfully, and I'll give a little credit there, Mac had it first, as if it's like a huge report. No, but proud, we busted his stones there for being a little absent-minded at the start of the show.
I only heard Keith say it, but I didn't hear you say it.
First Kendall, now this.
I didn't hear you say
you
it.
You see why you should never back Peterlin?
I didn't hear you say it. I would love to give you credit. I didn't hear you say it.
Keith said what my first thought was when I saw this being out there.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's not an accident. And I don't think this is from the Brown side of things. This is very clearly Kemp Stefanski putting this out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is a sign of two things. One, the writing might be on the wall for them. Or at the very least, there's credible fear now for the first time.
Yeah.
And two, it's a better safe than sorry. Let's put that out there just to gauge interest. And it kind of like, honestly, what happened with Mike Vrabel before Mike Vrabel got fired in Tennessee, where we heard that like 3 weeks out,
uh-huh.
And everybody just kind of quickly went, ah, they're not that dumb, and then they were that
dumb. But you got to get your ducks in a row, right? And this is also why I remind people that this time of the year, people like Jeremy Fowler constantly, they will outwardly show you who they talk to and who they get their sources from. You just have to pay attention. It's out there. And in this instance, it's like, all right, Fowler and Stefanski, they're in good graces. Next time I see a Fowler report, we link it up to Stefanski, and we kind of go from there. Like they every year beat guys, all these people, they out them every single season. But within in this regard, I mean, if you're Stefanski, how do you possibly think you're escaping this?
Yeah,
there's no way. And I know everyone keeps going back to that idea of like, well, they're safe in the building, everyone in the building. Okay, I wouldn't believe Haslam why would you believe Haslam in this?
Well, and not just that, but I think there's a growing idea that maybe Kevin could use a sense of a change of scenery. I wouldn't put that off the table either.
Are we at the Tomlin stage of this? Where in Pittsburgh, the rhetoric now is it might be best for both parties and both parties. It's Andy Reid at the end of Philadelphia.
I mean,
where it's like it seems like a separation might just be best for both parties.
I mean, if the idea is true, if the narrative out there is true, which is that Kevin Stefanski is consistently Oliver Twist and begging for more authority and more power. I can understand if Kevin says, I've got a good enough resume to maybe get a better job. And by better job, it's not even about the actual job itself, but certainly getting away from Haslam might be seen as a positive. But also, maybe I can go somewhere where I can actually have not just say in my fate, but have control in my fate. Maybe he would look for the Shanahan where, hey, I'll come fix your offense. You give me the GM that I want to work with, and that's how this is going to go.
Well, it looks like Joe Shane's going to be fired in New York. That seems like that's the easiest conclusion.
Fired himself for that press conference.
My goodness. Way to just fall apart, right? He vomited all over the mic. I don't know what was going on there. So like, it seems like that would be an easy setup. If I'm Stefanski, I leave for the Giants. I don't leave for the Titans.
No, I would agree.
You can do what you're doing here with the Titans. There's nothing you're accomplishing there.
Do you believe in Cam Ward?
No, because if he did, they would have made a stronger push to try to trade for Cam Ward in the draft. Maybe they thought Tennessee locked it out, but it's not like we heard a bunch of different reports that people were lining up draft picks and assets to try to get Cam Ward.
Listen, I don't think Cam, in what he's done, what he did really well in Miami and what he's certainly done well and poorly in Tennessee, I don't think it lines up with what Kevin likes to do. Kevin likes the Kirk Cousins. He likes the on-schedule throws.
We do know that he loved Jackson Dart.
Yeah, well,
to a degree. Not enough to take him at number two overall.
Which is just the funniest thing in the world.
He went to Jackson Dart's pro day. They had Jackson Dart in on the actual trips that you could have people in.
All other meathead quarterbacks that say things they don't like, I hate. But this guy is my guy. Yeah,
Baker Mayfield 2.0. Maybe he's just, maybe he loves what he lost.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. When you find a good person, and then for whatever reason, you just weren't the right person that moment, they go off, you see them happy, and you're like, I just got to find a discount.
You get the team
mover. Discount Angela.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then some people end up, that's their whole life. Listen. Leave for the Giants. If the Giants offer you the job, Stefanski, you should leave and take that. I actually have a feeling that one would go in a positive way for your direction and your career. The Titans are a disaster.
I would wait for a better job.
I would wait for a better job.
If I'm Stefanski, I wait to see if Buffalo shakes out, depending on how that goes. I wait to see
Cincinnati.
I don't think Cincinnati is going to move off Zach Taylor.
I'm going to keep bringing him up in the equation.
But fair. I mean, honestly, I wait to see if Baltimore shakes open.
Oh, yeah, because Stefanski will do real well with a guy like Lamar.
Oh, no. I'm just saying it's a better job than this one.
Yeah.
But I would wait, because here's the thing. I think there's probably going to be at least two more jobs that open up, not including Cleveland. So,
well, I don't think he's going to be in on those jobs, though. And again, that's a big question. It's like, well, who's replacing them? Are you really? I know that's tough, and I don't have a great answer for you immediately for who's Buffalo's big, great coach. But if I'm Buffalo, I'm shooting higher than Stefanski.
Oh, big, great coach. I heard something else. Kevin Stefanski in the Jeremy Fowler notes, apparently a bit of a topic around the league with people saying he could be a hot topic, a prime candidate for a head coaching job this cycle. My initial takeaway was Kevin Stefanski's people want this out there. What do you make of it? We got Chris Fedor in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Man, that game last night sucked. And just in general, there have been too many clunkers recently. Donovan continues to espouse the same things that we got to do better. We got to play harder. We got to do this, that, and the other. And it continues to not happen. To talk about the state of the Cavaliers, to talk about, honestly, Donovan and how darn good he's actually been this year. And his most recent story here on Donovan, assessing where the team is at. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining us on the Fan Hotline. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm doing all right here, you know, kind of doing the thing. I'd say we're kind of torn with the Cavs because on one level, Donovan's never been better. And on another level, this is as bad as we've seen the Cavs with him.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to this team. And I think coming into the year, guys, we understood that it was going to be difficult to truly assess them because of all of the circumstances surrounding the beginning of this season. Even Kenny Atkinson, going all the way back to training camp, was bracing everybody for, this is a different season. This is a different team. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be growing pains. But at the same time, even though we understood that those things were going to be happening, even though we understood that this was going to be a different team, it doesn't mean that you ignore everything that you see just because it's November or just because it's early December or just because we're only a quarter of the way through the season. That's not how you approach the regular season. When things are happening, when you see alarming things, when you see concerning things, it's fine to point those out. It's fine to have a conversation about them. And I think everybody's kind of struggling with, okay, what's real with this basketball team? What's going to continue with this basketball team? What can we just write off as early season growing pains? It's all that kind of stuff. And I think even Kenny Atkinson, to some degree, guys, is trying to figure things out here.
So what is real to you?
I think when you see a team that was eliminated, some version of a team that was eliminated in the second round of the playoffs, and then you see a lot of those same flaws being exposed, and you also see a style of opponent that continues to be problematic, I don't think you just start to ignore that. I don't think you just sit here and say, well, wait until Max Strus gets back, or wait until they're fully healthy. I think on most nights, teams look bigger than them. Teams look more athletic than them. Teams look hungrier than them. And teams look tougher than them. And that has been something that we have seen even when the team is at full strength. That has been something that we have seen with last year's team, which is a different version with different personnel, with a different style and stuff like that. So I think you honestly have to ask yourself, okay, when they continue to struggle with length and athleticism, when they continue to struggle with toughness, when they continue to struggle with the new style of play that what we're seeing in the NBA, it's faster, it's more spread out. You start to ask yourself, do they have the kind of personnel that is going to allow them to compete at the highest level under these circumstances in this particular era? And there are certain kinds of teams that are bothersome to them. And I think that's the thing that we look at. I think that's the thing that becomes troublesome, is that stylistically, in today's game, with how teams are wanting to play, other teams can do that better than the Cavs.
So what I struggle with is the offense night and day. I mean, last year was such a highlight for what you did. This year, it's just been bad. I know Darius has been hurt, but they've got guys that can create shots for others. Obviously, Donovan can do that. Donovan has acted as a point guard when Darius has been out previously. Lonzo Ball is an incredible playmaker. Craig Porter Jr. can do that. So it's not like this is just because Darius has not been 100% healthy and missed X amount of games to start the season, right?
I would agree with that. And I think if you want to understand where the Cavs are at, and if you try and take a barometer of how this team is performing on the offensive end of the floor, there is one person that dictates that more than anybody else. And it's not Donovan. And it's not Darius. And that doesn't minimize their importance. And it doesn't change how good they can be for this team. But Evan Mobley is the one who controls everything inside this organization. Evan Mobley is the one who determines whether or not this team can win a championship. Evan Mobley determines how good the Cavs are playing on the offensive end of the floor. Obviously, defensively, he is who he is. He's the defensive player of the year. He can anchor the paint. He can play out on the perimeter. He can guard inside, outside. All that kind of stuff goes without saying, and that's always going to be there with Evan. But this season, in so many ways, was about Evan Mobley. The things that they changed within the offense, that was about Evan Mobley. The things that they wanted to become, that was about Evan Mobley. And he just hasn't taken that step. It's not a surprise to me that the best season that they have had over the last 5 years was when Evan Mobley became second-team All-NBA, first-time All-Star. And again, Donovan's important, and Darius is important, and they need both those guys to create shots, and they need both those guys to get into the paint to break the defense down and cause the defense to go into rotation and make the defense make a decision. But this is about Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley needs to be great for this team to be great. Evan Mobley needs to take the next step as an offensive player for them to be the team that they want to be and be the team that they believe that they can be. And it just hasn't happened.
Well, it sounds like they're doing everything they can to nurture that. So what exactly is he missing? Is it time? Is that all this is? Because we're running out of it for this year.
I think it's possible that it's time. You know, I've talked about this a few different times, guys, on my podcast. I've talked about this with national members of the media when they had me on their podcast. And I think you just have to ask yourself, you know, is Evan's game ready? Is his mentality ready?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
To be who the Cavs need him to be. And I wrote about this about a week and a half ago. Is Evan Mobley ready to be the star that the Cavs need him to be on the offensive end of the floor? Again, I'm not talking about defensive. I'm talking about offensively to take that next step as a team. Offensively to share the offense with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. To be a focal point. To be something more than what he has been throughout the course of his career. And I don't know that we know the answer to that. I don't know if we know if Evan Mobley is ready for that. But I will say that I think there are bad signs to that. Because offensively, he's just kind of the same player that he has been, but a lesser version of that player. He's taking more threes. He's shooting it with more confidence. But he's having a hard time attacking mismatches in the post. He's having a hard time beating guys consistently off the dribble and what should be advantageous matchups for him. He's having a hard time becoming the inside-outside threat that the Cavs are hoping that he is. He's having a hard time figuring out, okay, they want me to be aggressive. They want me to have this kind of attack mentality. But what does that mean for me? And am I ready for that? His shot profile is very, very different. There's too many mid-range shots and not enough around the rim. How he operates out of the pick and roll is something that remains a work in progress. Him as a ball handler, something that remains a work in progress. And I think the truth is that, you know, there are just certain guys that are more comfortable being the third option in the offense. There are just certain guys that are more comfortable. I used this analogy in my piece about a week and a half ago. Some guys are made to be Batman. Some guys are made to be Robin. And some guys are made to be Alfred. And I think you have to wonder, even though the Cavs want him to be something else, even though the Cavs need him to be something else, does he have the game? Does he have the temperament? Does he have the mentality to be that? Or is he just somebody who's always going to be best and most comfortable when all eyes aren't on him? All eyes of the defense aren't on him, where so much of the responsibility of the team on offense isn't on him as well. And I think it's fair to wonder if it's ever going to come, if now is going to be the time, if it's going to get better when Darius Garland comes back, if it's going to get better when Max Strus and Sam Merrill come back, because they take so much of the defensive attention, because they create so much natural movement within the offense. But there is nobody inside this organization that would say that Evan Mobley is having the kind of season that they wanted him to have, that they needed him to have.
Chris, is there any fix, anything short term you think they can do to get this right, or at least get it more right?
Yeah, I think so. I think to get it more right on the offensive end of the floor requires like using Evan a little bit differently within the offense, making it so that he's a little bit closer to the paint, making it so that he's a little bit closer to the rim, making it so that he doesn't have to create as much of the offense on his own. I think that certainly can help. I think the other thing is they can play with a different level of tenacity. They can play with a different commitment. They can play with a different level of focus. And some of those other things are going to take care of themselves. Like, we have spent a lot of this conversation talking about Evan, talking about the offensive struggles, but 7 times in the first 23 games for a team that considers itself a defense first team, they have had a defensive rating of 120 or worse. It's just not good enough. It happened 19 times last year, all season out of 82. It's already happened 7 times out of 23. So they're just, I think there has to be a level of understanding that the personnel for this team is different. There's no doubt about it. They lost some pieces of who they were last year, but they have to take what is happening a little bit more seriously if they're actually going to fix it. And it's strange because I think coming off of the playoff loss against Indiana, guys, there were some really, really good things that we were hearing from the organization and really good things that we were hearing from the players as well. Like, there was a level of understanding that forget the injuries and forget the circumstances, we just weren't good enough against Indiana. They showed some things about us that were problematic, and they exploited some of those things. And you had a lot of guys saying the right things, and it felt like an organization that took like a long look in the mirror and had a harsh evaluation, the kind of harsh evaluation that you wanted them to have. But it just doesn't look like that this year. So I think there has to be a little bit more focus. I think there has to be a little bit more commitment to doing the right things. I think there has to be a little bit more care taken toward what the regular season is supposed to be. And it's not only about results, right? It's not only about their record. It's about building championship habits. It's about doing things the right way so that when the playoffs roll around, those things are second nature to you. And Oklahoma City, they were able to look at the regular season last year and they were able to take it seriously and they were able to do things the right way. And they built those habits that they were able to lean on when they get into the playoffs. You just don't see the Cavs doing those same kinds of things. And again, it is early and they are missing pieces, but I do think that there are troubling things that we're seeing with this basketball team that they need to look in the mirror and say that it's not only about the guys missing. It's not only about some of the circumstances surrounding us. We've got to fix these things internally, and if we don't, then we're not going to be the team that we want to be ultimately.
Chris, we got a boogie, buddy, but you're the best. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Chris.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com on the Fan Hotline. We'll have a quick reaction to what he had to say and another look at the Kevin Stefanski buzz from Jeremy Fowler in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.